Amen. I remember last night, and it was interesting that Shani spoke about the fruit of the Spirit, because that's what we preach about on Monday night. Because God has been taking us, you know, when you need revival. I was reading in this book that I shared from you a little bit out of it with you on Sunday night. It says, if you want revival, if you're praying for revival, you're asking actually for a difficult thing. It's not a glamorous thing that people make it out to be. If you're praying for revival, you're praying to be broken. You're praying to be repentant. You're praying to be searching your soul and realizing how full of sin you are. Isn't that wonderful? We look for the glory of revival. We look for the fire. We look for the healings. We look for the power of the Spirit. And it's almost become like a drug to the... And now I'm speaking way away from what I was going to say. It's almost become like a drug to the Pentecostal believers or the charismatic believers. They want power. And if they don't have the power, they feel like they've got nothing. But we've got the Spirit. We've got the power of the Spirit in us, flowing in us, moving in us. And the Spirit helps us to walk in holiness. What God is saying is, I don't need you to be full of power. I need you to be full of holiness. Because I am the power. I am the power. I'm the power in you. If you are holy, if you walk right before me, if you walk in righteousness, then you will have the power. But if you focus on the power, you can have nothing. Because it's pride that seeks the power. Does that make sense to you? Sure. Okay, and I'm not talking for money. It's pride that seeks the power. But it's when you've got a heart for me, when you've got a heart that loves the people that I love, that is broken, lost, that I can use that power that I've given you, because it's for that very purpose that I've given you the power. But when you desire it for yourself, when you desire it to look good and say, yes, I'm a charismatic believer, I'm happy clappy and I can speak in tongues, your focus and your motive is all wrong. God wants to bring us back to true holiness, to true righteousness, to seeking Him like that Psalm 52 verse 1, I think it was, where David wrote, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after thee. He wants us to hunger and thirst for Him. And He must be the key, He must be the first place. And then the power will come. And I was speaking about it earlier on as we've gone through preparation, this time of preparation for the conference. There was the Sunday that we spent time repenting. Because in the book of Joel, as I was sharing on Monday night, it was actually a prophecy about judgment. And then halfway through, God relents. And He says, but if my people will repent and turn back, then let's see if I won't pour out a blessing. So we spent time repenting. I made a call that we would pray and fast. I trust you've been praying and fasting and spending more time in the Lord's presence. Then on Monday night I said, well, the next step after praying and fasting and repenting is we need a restoration of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Because the fruit of the Spirit is the opposite to the sin and the desire of the world, the flesh, the things of the flesh. So that means we're walking in righteousness. But tonight, I want to take it to another level. I want to say, once we're walking in righteousness, having repented, and we have the fruit of the Spirit, we need to see the ongoing promise of the Lord. In Joel 2 verse 19, it says, the Lord will reply, look, I'm sending you grain and new wine and olive oil enough to satisfy your needs. You will no longer be an object of mockery among the surrounding nations. And it's exactly as Shani said, this church is one overflowing and bubbling. And I've often said it, when you look around right now, it's kind of almost, people will look and mock and say, oh, look, where are you now? The enemy's saying, he's pointing at you. Maybe that's what I'm trying to deal with. Yeah, look where you are now. But God says you will no longer be a mockery. You will no longer be a mockery. I'm sending you grain and new wine, olive oil, enough to satisfy your needs. Now think about that. Grain speaks of life. Grain speaks of life. Jesus is the bread of life. I shared that with you. Grain was used to make bread. It fed the people. But grain also speaks about people. Because the word says, the fields are white unto the harvest. The fields are white. Full of grain. Full of people. So when the Lord says, I'm sending you grain, He says, I'm sending you people. Isn't that interesting? And new wine. Joy. New wine represents joy. And I'm going to send you olive oil, anointing. So He's going to send us people, He's going to send us joy. He's going to send us anointing. This festival that we're doing, it's all about the anointing. But tonight I want to focus on that grain. I want to focus on that grain. I want to take you, I've read Joel 2 verse 19. I want to carry on from verse 21. It says, "Don't be afraid, O land. Be glad now and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things, and I believe He's busy doing great things. Don't be afraid, you animals of the field, for the wilderness pastures will soon be green." And I spoke to you about that green on Monday night. That green comes from the Hebrew word dasha. And the only other place it's found is in Genesis 1 verse 11, where it speaks about God creating green pastures. It's the beginning of the beginning. God is going to give us absolute newness. So, soon the pastures will be green. The trees will again be filled with fruit. Fig trees and grapevines will be loaded down once more, which I spoke about on Monday. "Rejoice, you people of Jerusalem. Rejoice in the Lord your God. For the rain He sends demonstrates His faithfulness." What happens after the rain? The crops come up and they start to bear fruit. "Once more the autumn rains will come, as well as the rains of spring." And this is the scripture I really want you to see. "The threshing floors will again be piled high with grain, and the presses will overflow with new wine and olive oil." Grain, wine, and olive oil. The threshing floors will again be piled high. Build a picture in your mind of the threshing floor, okay? They would take all the grain after they'd harvested into the threshing floor, where they would work it, and so that they could get the seeds out of the heads of grain. And they would be piled high. It would be full. The harvest would be so big that the place would be piled, stacked to the ceiling. That, to me, speaks of growth. It speaks of growth. God was getting ready. Instead of bringing judgment, when the people turned to Him, He was able to get ready to bring that which we've been praying for. He was able to get them ready to bring revival. I want to tell you a little bit about Pentecost versus the Old Testament feast that they celebrated, which was Shavuot. Now, there's two things that Pentecost links up to. One was the giving of the law. If you're going to have a look at Pentecost and the giving of the law, there's great parallels. The giving of the law points to Pentecost. On the day that the law was given, 3,000 people died in the Israelite camp. On the day that the Holy Spirit was given, 3,000 people were born again. Isn't that amazing? And there's many parallels, but that's not what I want to speak about tonight. I want to speak about the fact that the other feast was Shavuot, or it was the Feast of Weeks. It was 7 weeks where they were from the beginning of the harvest to the end of the harvest. So they'd collected the grain and it was the end of the harvest. And they added one day, which made 50, which is where we get Penty from. It was the season of the grain harvest and specifically of wheat. It wasn't the barley harvest. The barley harvest came at the beginning of the season. This was the grain harvest that was coming. Grain means life, but it speaks about people. Remember? It was the grain harvest. As I mentioned earlier, that grain refers to people and not just about life. John 4 verse 36, "For you know the saying, 4 months between the planting and the harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest." And as I said, when the law was given, 3,000 people died. But on the day of Pentecost, there was a harvest. 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom. There was a harvest. When we celebrate Pentecost, we're celebrating not just the receiving of the Holy Spirit. We're celebrating harvest time. And I don't think I've ever thought about it this way before. I've always thought about it just as the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're celebrating the fact that when Pentecost comes, it's a reminder that God wants us to have a harvest. Acts 1 verse 8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." What else does it say? "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You will receive power. The problem, remember what I started this message with. The problem is we focus on the power. We focus on the power and it makes us feel good. God wants us to focus on Him and have His love. Remember the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Joy. I said if there's love, we will love others. We won't want to see them die and go to hell. We will love Jesus. We'll obey His command which said, go and make disciples. You receive power so that you can be His witnesses. And when you're His witnesses, what happens? The harvest comes. The more we witness, the harvest comes. When we go out on the street and we speak to people, harvest comes. People get born again. When the Holy Spirit was poured out, God was saying this, I'm equipping you, my people, to become harvesters. To become harvesters. Say that to the person next to you, I'm a harvester. And the problem is, as a church, and particularly this church, it's something we haven't managed to get into our thick skulls. We love the power. We love the presence of the Holy Spirit. We love coming and worshiping Him. But we're shocking at harvesting. We're shocking at harvesting. And God says, I've given you my Spirit so that you can become a harvester. And maybe tonight what we've got to pray for before we leave here is, Lord, help me to become an effective harvester. Amen. Does it make sense to you? But now that I've jumped all over you and I've beaten you up with the Word of God, there's more. Not only is God equipping us to harvest, but there's some promises that come to those who are the harvesters. Those who harvest are rewarded. In John 4, verse 36 to 38, it says this, the harvesters are paid good wages. If you're a harvester, you'll get paid a good wage. Who wants to earn a good wage here tonight? We'll get paid a good wage. What is our wage? We store up not treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. One day when we go to heaven, one day when we bow down before Jesus, we want crowns to be able to cast before Him. The more treasure we have, the more we can give to Jesus. Because why would we need treasure in heaven? We've got everything we need in any case. It's going to bless us. We're going to walk on streets of gold. But we build up treasure so we can worship Him effectively in heaven. The more treasure I've got, the more I can worship Him. Does that make sense? As we harvest, as we become harvesters, we get paid a good wage. God will bless our lives. Yes, He will bless us here on earth too. He'll prosper us and bless us and favor us because we're being obedient. But we build up treasure in heaven. And the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. The fruit we harvest, the people we're going to harvest, the thing we're going to go and harvest is people that we lead into eternal life. That's the fruit we harvest. Last night we spoke about, we spoke about that we need to have plentiful fruit. When we are pruned, we are enabled to produce abundant fruit. So if we're pruned in the Lord, we produce a great harvest. And I said that's the fruit of the Spirit. But Yara speak about a different fruit. It's people. So it goes beyond just the fruit of the Spirit. We can harvest people. And Yaz the rest. Yaz the bonus. Not only will we be paid, but we'll get a bonus. Because it carries on to say, what joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. You know the saying, one plants, another harvests. And it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others have already done the work. And now you will get to gather the harvest. God is speaking to us as a church. He's saying, the other people have planted. You didn't even plant there because you weren't good harvesters. You weren't good in the field. But you're going to go and harvest any case if we want to take hold of what the Lord has said to us. If we want to take... Am I getting too confusing to you? Are you with what I'm saying? God is saying, I want you to become my harvesters. And the harvest is there. That is why every time we walk on the streets, even though we might be not so good at it, people get saved. Because He's already sent somebody before us to plant the seed. The people are ripe for the picking. All we're going to do is be His vessels. And then we get paid a good reward, but we get the bonus. The bonus is His joy. He says, what joy there is for those, for both the planter and the harvester alike. Do you want joy, church? I've been battling. I've been saying it to Shea. I realized I was on a spiritual attack and I've taken authority over it. I've been battling. I get down. And that's not my nature. I'm a happy camper most of the time. I can be a grumpy grass, but I'm generally a happy camper. But I've been getting down. And I realized that I better be careful because if that thing takes hold, I will have a monumental battle in my life to get over it. I'll become depressed. And I can't have that. And nor can you. But how do we get joy? We get joy by being a harvester. It says, great joy awaits both the sower and the harvester alike. Do you want joy? Do you need joy? Or have you been battling with a bit of downness? And this is one of the key themes that we've seen them since we started on this journey about Pentecost. Okay, it's gone. The journey to Pentecost. It's one of the key things we've seen is that God has been speaking and God has been releasing joy in people's lives. Joy. And if you think I'm exaggerating, If I go to John 15:11, it says this: I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Okay? Yes, your joy will overflow. Your joy will overflow. In John 14:14, it says, yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And yeah, we can see the link to the gift of the Spirit. Because as we go out, as we say, Lord, we want to produce more fruit. We want to reap the harvest. We want to go and work in the harvest. God is going to give us, Shani prophesied about, we will have the power we need. We will have all the gifts we need. God will equip us with all the gifts we need as we go out and start to bring in the harvest. So that's really what I wanted to speak to you about tonight. Simple message. I don't even know if I've carried it over in a way that you understand it very clearly. But what God is saying to us tonight is, I want you, as part of your desire of my Holy Spirit, to realize that I've given you my Holy Spirit for a reason. And that reason is so that you will be my harvesters. He's saying, you may not have been great at harvesting in the past, but that will all change if you open your heart to me now. And not only that, but I'll incentivize you. If you are willing to be my harvesters, I will pay you a reward. I will pay you a reward. And I will give you great joy. And you will ask anything in my name, and I will give it to you. Isn't that awesome? I mean, how many promises do we need from the Lord? Now, the Lord has been speaking to us for a long time. He's told us about getting off the porch. He's spoken to us about reaching the people he has in the city. But church, we have not done it. We have not done it. We have not been successful at it. And he's giving us another opportunity. But the prophetic word came tonight. If you do not take hold of the gifts of the Spirit, and the reason, by deduction, the reason why I give you the gift of the Spirit, I will move on and I will find somebody else to give them to. And God will do that. He'll raise up a church. This church is ripe for revival. We don't have to worry about spending money. We've been working on this place. We've been fixing it up. We've been making it look good. It's ready. There can be an influx of people there. God has been preparing us as his people. I believe this is one of the last steps. He's preparing. He's pouring his Spirit out into us so that we can go out. We can pray for people and they'll be healed. We can see miracles take place. We can have miraculous faith in every aspect, in every area. And he says, tonight I will give you the ability to be my witnesses. And so I'm going to have one more altar call tonight as we close. And say, if you want to be the Lord's witness. We've stood here before and say, yeah, I am, Lord, use me. But tonight, I want to pray for you that the Lord will equip you to be the harvester that he's calling you to. And maybe you're shy. Maybe you're saying, well, that's not for me. I don't know how to speak to people. Church, I can tell you, I don't know how to speak to people. When we go out on the street, I am very uncomfortable. It's not me, but I do it any case. And God uses me. He can use me, he can use you. Some of you find it far more natural to speak to people. God can use you. Whether it be your neighbor, whether it be somebody, a school child, it can be anywhere. No matter where we go. Our friends, invite them to church. Our family, be a bit more convincing. Don't let them just beat you down and say, ach, don't Bible beat me. If you want that anointing, if you want the power of God to be his witness, come forward now and we're going to pray. And I hope somebody's going to come. Amen.